In the past few years, the NHL community has experienced a number of suicide deaths amongst its players. Hockey, as with many professional sports, have multi-million dollar contracts. It means added pressures and high-stakes games. How is the culture of hockey adapting? How is it dealing with the issue in such a public manner? Are there new support systems and programs? Does stigma still exist? This radio documentary is first in a series exploring mental health issues in professional sport. However, hidden beneath the surface was an emotional landmine that was exposed in the midst of this run. Back in 2011, I had the opportunity to interview Jeff Courtneau many years later at a Coast Mental Health fundraiser event in Vancouver. We talk hockey, the warrior culture, and what the future may hold for the game.
Yeah, I think sharing my family's story and what we struggled through and went through with my father, I think that it's really opened up our lives and helped a lot of people. And I think that, you know, it's something that's important to us now and in our hometown especially, but also in BC.
So back in 94, when you first revealed the story, what was the kind of environment with respect to the awareness of mental health, like in the general community, especially in the hockey community, and, you know, that tension that coming out? Explain that a bit.
Well, I think that, you know, back then a lot of people, including ourselves, never spoke of depression, mental illness, suicide. It wasn't looked upon in a very positive outlook. And I think that it was something we were intimidated by, no doubt, as a family. And, you know, I know that my brother was asked a lot. I was asked, and we just left it at, you know, our father died when we were young, and really what happened was, you know, I had an in-depth personal interview with the New York Post during the playoff run, and one of the journalists asked me how my father died, and I was, to be honest, stuck, and I finally, you know, opened up and told the story, and it kind of snowballed from there. And then a lot of people started to talk to me about it and ask me different questions. And I think when you open up to your story, it brings out other people's stories, and that's how we all seem to help each other.
How about on the ice? Because it's a very kind of psychologically intimidating. You know, there's always this, you know, kind of warrior mentality, and then kind of going from there and then back out into kind of the real world. Talk a bit about how, you know, to kind of survive in that world and then going to the real world.
Yeah, it's something that has become more aware to me personally in the last 3 years that life after hockey isn't easy, and your point of acting as a warrior and playing a game you love but doing anything and everything you'll do to win at no cost in a game, in life, I think really doesn't prepare you for life after hockey or life after any sport. And I think that, you know, a lot of people have really suffered when their careers are over. I think we're seeing it more. You know, this summer was a tough summer for hockey. And I think that we go through a lot of mental times that are very challenging. It's an emotional game. It's a game that puts a lot of pressure on you to win, from owners to managers to coaches down to the players. A lot of pressure's on the players from basically the fans. And I think that it's something that definitely you'll see, I'm sure, addressed more in the future.
Rick Rippon, a one-time Canuck, was the stereotypical male hockey warrior. He was a tough character on the ice. He was not a large, imposing figure, but hardworking, tough-as-nails type of player. I think many could relate to him. He was not a high-class star, but like a working-class player, known for his fighting, and the fans liked him.
Advantage here. Now here's Rick Rippon and Al Gill. Now this is a size mismatch. Look how Rippon's defending himself. He has his arm up. Defending himself, he's doing a heck of a job against the giant in Hal Gill. Hal Gill, 6'7", 240 pounds. Rippon, 5'11", and holding his own. He's going to get a huge ovation here from the people in Vancouver.
Rick Rippon was found dead by a family member's home in Coleman, Alberta. Local RCMP said they received a call at 12:30 p.m. Mountain Time on Monday concerning a sudden and non-suspicious death. Rippon took a three-month leave from the Canucks last season for personal reasons. It was the second leave of absence he had taken in the past three seasons.
In response to this tragedy, the conversation around mental health came to the forefront. Fans of the Canucks created a tribute for Rick at the local arena, placed with flowers, cards, and other mementos. In response, the hockey community created a website called mindcheck.ca. Mindcheck.ca is a youth and young adult-focused interactive website where visitors can check out how they're feeling and connect to support early and quickly. Support includes education, self-help, tools, website links, and assistance in connecting to other local professional resources.
I think that you're going to see a lot more attention paid to mental health and sustainability in life and health for pro athletes, not only hockey players, from this summer. I think, you know, the concussions, physical part of the game that could be contributing to some of the mental health issues, like I said in my speech, is that people are afraid of help, and people, when they're in trouble, will self-medicate, whether it's through alcohol, drugs, or whatever it is, and they'll feel good, but only for a short time.
Since the interview with Jeff Cortnell in 2011, a number of NHL players have ended their life by suicide. In the summer of 2011, in addition to Rick Rippon, Derek Bugard and Wade Bielak, both known for their enforcer and fighting roles, ended their lives. In 2015, Steve Montador and Todd Ewan both committed suicide after struggling with depression and the challenge of how to cope with life after hockey.
So if you could look a young hockey player that's probably, you know, they're in the dressing room and they're trying to be the warrior, they don't want to appear weak, but inside they got this burning, you know, secret or this thing that they can't deal with, what would you say to them?
Well, I think it's, you can see it in some kids' eyes. Some kids have the joy and happiness and fire. And some kids have the fire, but they also have the darkness. And I think that, you know, it's something that is parents and kids need to really be aware of. I think that it's something that parents need to talk to their kids about. I think that, hockey is, it's a fun game and it's a great sport to play, but it's not everything in life. And I think that's one thing that people need to realize, especially with young kids. They put so much pressure on themselves to make it 14 years old. The WHL draft into the juniors is something that a lot of kids put a lot of pressure on themselves to make. And when they don't, there's that crash level that happens. And I think that it's something that also needs to be addressed. There is too much pressure on young kids.
It's been over 4 years since this interview and the tragedy that came to the forefront of the Vancouver hockey community. How has the conversation, attitudes, and actions changed? Is life like a hockey game? And how is it being played out now? The search for these stories continues.